Exodus chapter number 2. And I don't care to tell you, I was a mama's boy. I've been made fun of and laughed at. And you know, they thought they was going to insult me by that. And I'd be preaching revival. One of them was at Brother King's church. Some of the men that from another church was there one night. And I'd said something about being a mama's boy and all that. And mama was instrumental in me getting saved. And if I had her in the service, I wouldn't care in front of everybody to hug her neck and kiss her on the cheek. And I didn't care. They made fun of me and laughed at me and said something to me even after the service. I got up the next night, and they were there. I got up the next night. I said, these fellas right here tried to make me feel little last night about what I said about being a mama's boy. And I want to say it in front of them and all the rest of you tonight again. I'm a mama's boy. I wish she was here. I'd love to be preaching to her right now. Amen. Thank God for mama. Hallelujah. Worst thing you can do is break her heart. Worst thing you can do is break her heart. And I was a heartbreak to my mom for years. But never again after I got saved. Never again. Amen. No telling how many times she wept over me. Cried. And prayed over me. Boy, she is a prayer warrior. She was a Bible student too. I remember when we first got Matthew Henry's commentaries, and I think there was like 6 volumes of them. And I mean, it was wrote in just micro font size. I mean, the way she done her devotions was, you know, it had the Bible scripture in there too, plus the comments and stuff. And that's what she used for her devotions. And you could flip through all 6 volumes of those Matthew Henrys, and they're marked up. Amen. Thank God for a godly heritage. Amen. My grandparents left us something. Mama and Daddy left me something. I'm talking about a godly heritage. Hardly any gold or silver. Wasn't hardly any much possessions, but left me a godly heritage. Now it's my turn. Mom and Dad, it's our turn now to leave our children something. Amen. Have they ever caught you praying? Brother Aaron's talking about catching his children praying. Has your children ever caught you praying, Mama? Have they ever heard you pray their name? Have they heard you call their name out to God? Ain't nobody can touch heaven like a mama can. Amen. Anyway, I'm going to have to get off that. So have your Bibles there to Exodus 2, but then also, if you've got a place or a Bible marker or something, turn to Hebrews 11 as well and have that ready. And we'll be there in just a moment. I already stated that we're going to be preaching this morning on Jochebed, the mother of Moses. I tell you, I wouldn't mind a bit to stand on reward day and stand in Moses' shoes. But if you take God out of Moses' life, he would have been a heathen. But if you'd have took Jochebed out of Moses' life, God wouldn't have been in his life. Jochebed was God's connection in the home to them, to those children. Napoleon Bonaparte, he made this statement. I guess I probably quoted this statement every year on Mother's Day since I've been here. He made this statement. I don't even have it in my notes, but it's just in my mind, memory. He said, the future destiny of a child is the work of a mother. Where a child is going to turn out in the days to come, weeks to come, years to come, will have the fingerprints or the lack thereof of mom on it. And if a mother has that kind of influence, that could be either a good influence or a bad influence. A lot of kids never had the godly mom that many of us had. They had a mom that didn't give a flip where they were, where they lived, who they were with, who they was running with, who they stayed with last night. You know, they didn't pay no attention to what kind of music they listened to. They didn't pay no attention to you know, who their friends were and who they were running around with and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't have a mama like that. Many of us in here tonight, our lives have had the fingerprints of a mama that cared enough to put constraints in our life and to put some boundaries in our life and to say no to us every once in a while. Amen. I know a lot of kids today, they don't even think no is an English word. What is that? Is that in the Bible? What does that even mean? They don't even know because they never hear it. And they know if they pitch a big enough fit, you know, get in the floor. I had a cousin one time, that's all she'd do. She'd get up under the living room table and the little coffee table and kick and stomp and scream and beat the floor until she got her way. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of other ways to silence that screaming, pitching, hissy fit than giving them what they want. That's right. If I would have had enough nerve to have got under a table or anywhere for that matter and pitched a fit and kicked and stomped and screamed and scratched and beat till Daddy got me what I wanted, oh, Daddy would have given me something. I promise you that. I wouldn't have been able to get out from under that table myself. Daddy would have dragged my tail out from under there. And he would have taught me a valuable lesson that I would have never forgot. I would have associated pitching a hissy with hurt instead of getting, you know. But anyway, that's not have a thing to do with Moses. Amen. Let's look at Exodus chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible said, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, took wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister, being Miriam, his sister was about 12 to 14 years old at this point. So she was already a trustworthy teenager that mom and daddy could put confidence in that she could do a responsible thing. And so his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him." Keep in mind now, chapter number 1 of Exodus, there's a lot stated there about killing Hebrew boys, baby boys. Pharaoh even told the midwives, said, "Now, if any of the Hebrew women have a baby boy, kill it." Amen. Everybody, want everybody to know that killing babies has never, never, ever been of God. Amen. In the womb, outside the womb, it doesn't matter. Baby killing is from the pits of hell. Amen. And you ought not to vote for anybody that's for it. I don't care what tag they wear. Amen. And so there was a great emphasis there. Of course, the midwives, what did they do? They feared God more than they feared Pharaoh. And as a result, they spared the boy babies as well. Of course, they got caught. But they talked about the reason that they did that was because the Hebrew women were lively women. That's what the word says. They were lively women. They wasn't like Egyptian women. They were tough women. Lively women, so that they really didn't need assistance. They already had the children when we got there. And so, and the Lord blessed that in chapter 1, verse 20. Blessed those maidens for that. And the Bible said he even gave them houses. He made them houses in verse number 21. But we come back to the text here. Where'd we get to? I got off on that. In the Bible, verse was it 7, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go? No, let's go back up. I think I stopped reading at verse 5. Verse number 6, and when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? What about that? A 12 to 14 year old sister speaking up, stepping up in a very dangerous situation and got that accomplished. That was amazing, wasn't it? Verse 8. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. Ain't that amazing? God's a million miles ahead of the devil. Aren't you listening? Praise the Lord. And verse 9, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take the child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages. Give thee thy wages. I'll even pay you. I'll even pay you. Of course, she didn't know it, but she was paying the mama to feed her own baby. And during that nursing period of time, she wasn't just feeding the baby. She was filling that baby's heart and mind full of God's word and history, and that you're not an Egyptian, you are a Hebrew. And amen. We'll say more about that in a minute. But the woman took the child and nursed it, verse number 10. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. And then it goes on following Moses' life. All right, Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews 11. And by the way, notice there in Exodus chapter 2 that Moses' mama nor his daddy was even named. So it's not important that we know Jochebed's name. We know her name by chapter 6 of Exodus. Chapter 6, I believe it's verse 20. Amram is the daddy and Jochebed's the mama. And we come to Hebrews, the Hebrews Hall of Faith. And what do we find there? We don't find her name mentioned. But we know that's who it's talked about. Verse 23. The Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Notice that statement. He was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child, that, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment, which was, if there's a male child born of the Hebrews, kill it. Amen. And it didn't just stop there with the midwives, the instruction there, but also a little bit later on we find Pharaoh is sending out the word to everybody, even to his own people, just to make sure they get them all, to kill all male babies, just kill them. That was what was happening when Jesus was born, baby killing. Amen. Herod wanted all the babies killed, but let's look at it. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Verse number 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, that meant when he become great, when he become famous, well known, when he had reached the levels of envy. And the Bible said there that when he had come to years, here's what he did by faith, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Can you imagine what's in that statement? Can you imagine what royalty he was turning down, what riches he was turning down, what recognition he was turning down? I mean, to live in Egypt, especially on the throne, you had access to all that Egypt had to give and offer. But the Bible said when faith started influencing him, when faith started working in his heart, the Bible said by faith he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, choosing Not just refusing, but choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Esteeming, this is all that he did by faith, because of faith. Faith's influence, faith's action, faith's working in him. Does your faith work in you? What choices have you made that's been stirred by your faith? By faith, Moses did this. That meant because of his faith that he made these choices. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. And then it picks up the story there with the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. But I want us to look at this passage here in Hebrews 11 for a moment. Note if you will here in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. So we're finding out in verse 23, I wrote this note down, the Lord gave this to me this morning. In fact, I was just reading this again, looking at it. Parental faith toward him preceded his personal faith that was through him. Before Moses had a personal faith that was active in his life, influencing his choices in life, that he turned out to be one of the greatest, if not the greatest, definitely Old Testament Bible character that we know of, and probably the greatest in our Bible. One of the greatest in our Bible. Is because that he had parents that had an active Bible faith that influenced them to do right when it wasn't popular to do right, to stand when nobody else was standing, at such a great possible price of their baby being killed. But notice in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. I want to say it again, that don't expect a lot of personal faith to be in your children if there's not parental faith toward them. Parental faith. Faith that moves you as a mom. Faith that moves you as a daddy. The Bible put them both together there that he was hid 3 months of his parents. There's teamwork. Faith unifies a marriage. Faith brings a husband and a wife together instead of dividing it. And so we find Jochebed and Amram working together for a common goal of their child. And we find here again, parental faith was activated toward Moses when Moses didn't even have a clue what it was. He didn't even know what faith was. All he knew was that this woman is feeding me. When it first started out. And because they saw that he was a goodly child, and the Bible said that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So we find here that faith not only is active toward the child before the child even knows anything about it. You say, Rich, what does that mean? That means that what God does in your babies before they even know anything much about what's going on comes from the faith of the parents. Comes from that spiritual life of the parents. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're a blessed people. You know it. Most of us heard the name of Jesus more times before we were 6 years old than the greater part of our population of this planet ever heard the name of Jesus in their life. Amen. There's a lot of kids heard Disney World and Disneyland and heard about Elmer Fudd and Donald Duck and never heard about Jesus. Never heard about Jesus. Amen. Parents, you can't just throw your children out into the wind of chance, thinking, well, somebody maybe will tell them one time. Maybe one day they'll hear it. Somehow or another they'll come across somebody that'll tell them about Jesus. No, friend, you need to make sure that that faith that's in you as a mother, as was in Jochebed and also in Amram, that they would work together and realize that if my son turns out to be anything, it's not going to be by accident. It's going to be because of purpose. And we don't have long. They didn't have but just a very small window of opportunity to influence Moses for Jesus. And particularly, it was all her. A small window is all you've got to influence your children. Earlier the better. When they're small, they're impressionable. They believe everything mama says, everything daddy says. And I want to tell you, friend, but when they get older, when they start going into the teenage years and they start to recognize what popularity is and what pleasures is, and I've said this before here, it's worth repeating, one of the most dangerous days in the life of a young lady or a young man is when they, no matter how young it is, when they first realize the pleasure of being noticed. Oh, if I do this or that, somebody's going to brag on me. Oh, if I do this or that, there's going to be people that may even want my autograph, and they'll clap and they'll applaud and they'll whistle and oh, if I'll do this or that, I'll get rewards and I'll get honor and I'll get recognition and I'll get notoriety. I'm going to tell you, once they ever get that glitter of that recognition and they feel the pleasure of it, it's going to be hard to turn them from that. It's going to be hard to turn them toward God once they recognize this world wants to pat them on the back. The world wants to applaud them. Amen. You only have a short period of time. Listen to this. Let me just give you this. Jochebed's name means Jehovah gloried. She had a name and she lived up to that name. Her name is only mentioned two times in our entire Bible. It's mentioned in the book of Exodus, chapter 6, verse 20, and also Numbers 26, verse 59. Only two times. But you know why Jochebed was what she was? Her name wasn't what it was about. Amen. You know what will hinder a lot of mamas? This is Mother's Day. What will hinder a lot of mothers from being the godly mother that God wants you to be is when your name matters. Amen. Amen, that's right. And a part of that is when mamas today want to be their children's best friend and pal and buddy instead of a parent. Amen. Amen. You're not going to gain any ground with your children as far as a spiritual direction and a spiritual influence if you're just wanting your friends to look at you as a pal. Oh, mom, boy, she's cool. She lets me do whatever and she don't ever say nothing. Whatever I want, she buys it. Just whatever, you know. Boy, mama's cool. Hey, I want to tell you, but I didn't have a mom like that. I didn't have a mom that was cool. I had a mama that was godly. I had a mama that was spiritual. I had a mama that loved God and cared more about my future than she did my feelings. It didn't bother her a second, friend. It didn't bother her a second to get in and interfere with the friendships that I had, any associations that I had that was being detrimental to me spiritually and would not turn out good. Mama didn't mind a bit speaking up and putting feet on her actions. Mama didn't mind a bit that. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's exactly right. I wouldn't be here today if Mama hadn't done that. There was one young lady that I was interested in. This is when I first got my first job. I was 16. I mean, I had a fired up car. It was the hottest car in town. It was a four-door Toyota station wagon. And in its original day, it was red, but it had been so faded that it was that old pukey, pinkish, orange, yellowish, ugly, nasty. Amen. And so, but that's all I had. I paid $400 for it. That's all I had. I had to buy my own car. And but anyway, you know what? This young lady was interested in me. And I thought, me driving this hot car through town, you know. But Mama found out there was something wrong with that woman. Mama found out she'd already been married and already had two kids. And Mama didn't ask me, now, son, you know that ain't right. Mama didn't say to me, now, son, now, you need to pray about this. You need to make a good judgment call right here. Your future's at stake. No. Here's the words Mama said. You either end it or I will. Now, there's no discussion left in that statement. Amen. I promise you, I would not, Brother Carroll, I would not be here today. I wouldn't have been here 27 years ago, the third Sunday of June when I preached my first message right here from this pulpit. I wouldn't have been here because I was falling for her, and she was probably one of the most popular females in town, and she was showing me attention, and I was a few years younger than her even. But Mama didn't care if she wore the crown of popularity. She didn't care if she drove a convertible midget, one of them little small midget cars. She didn't care who liked her and who talked about her. She found out that that was going to be a bad deal on my part. And so she made it clear, you stop it, you end it, or I will. And I knew that I would show a little mercy. I knew I'd show a little tact. Mama's action would be a tact. So I said, Mama, I'll do it. Because I already seen her. I seen her go through one of my brother's relationships. And I want to tell you, they could have made the Chainsaw Massacre movie off of that. I mean, when Mama was thinking about her boys and her children, listen, and her future, she didn't care what people thought. She didn't care if she hurt your feelings or my feelings. She hurt my feelings a lot. And I said, Mama, you're killing me. I'm trying to be popular, and this is really helping me. I don't care what you're trying to be. I'm interested in what God wants you to be. And if you get tied up in that trash right there and all of that mess right there, it's going to affect the rest of your life. I've had people to get mad at me, literally get mad at me, and quit coming to this church because I gave godly counsel over that same issue. A young man that God seemingly had his hand on, and I knew later that they was going to get married or was looking about getting married, and I just spoke a word, just personal. I said, "You, God may want you to preach one day. God may call you to preach one day. And if you get tied up in this marriage, then you're going to be disqualified as a preacher." And I still believe that. And I wasn't out of the way. I was very nice as I could be. I was just giving them something to think about. Got all poochy lip. Got all mad, been out of shape. Hey, I want to tell you something. If giving you good advice comes from my heart, from the Bible, and it's best for your future, you can get mad at me all you want to. I'm still going to try to tell you the truth. You'll not be able to stand before the Lord and say, you know what, Preacher Ackley condoned it. Preacher Ackley just turned and looked the other way. Preacher Ackley don't care. No, I want you to know that I do care. Amen. Moses, listen to this right here. You don't think Moses was a powerful character in the Bible. You listen to this right here. I've never given this before. He's mentioned in 261 verses in the book of Exodus, 80 verses in Leviticus, 216 verses in Numbers, 35 verses in Deuteronomy, 51 verses in Joshua, 47 verses in the historical books. And the book of Psalms and the prophets are referred to. They also refer to him. He is mentioned 37 times in the Gospels, 19 verses in the book of Acts, 22 verses in the epistles of the New Testament. The book of Revelations also refers to him. He's mentioned total in 784 verses in your King James Bible. 705 of them is Old Testament, and 79 of those are New Testament. Now, I want to ask you something. Was Moses a well-known Bible character? He was one with Elijah that showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. He will also be one of the two witnesses in Revelation chapter number 11 in the tribulation period. I want to tell you, friend, we're talking about, and not only that, Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, known as the Pentateuch. They're called the books of Moses. I'm telling you, we're talking about a man of God. Listen, his life still influences our judicial system, and a lot of segments of our government are supposed to be. Of our government that he started out even back in the Mosaic Law. What about that? He was known as an emancipator, lawgiver in Israel. He was a scholar, a soldier, a statesman, a saint. He was one of the two men that were sent back, as I told you, as appeared to Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. I'm telling you, he was a mighty man. A mighty man. But I want to say it again, if you take God out of his life, he would have never been nothing of what he was. And if you'd have took, listen, if you'd have took his parents out, and more particularly, if you'd have took Jochebed out of his life and took her out of his life just for those first 5 to 7 years when she was nursing him. If you'd have just took those 7 years of parental influence out of his life, he would have never been the man that he was. We would have never heard about him today. I would not be preaching about him today. I would have not known anything about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I would have never known anything about the law or the Ten Commandments. Why? God used Moses to do that, and Moses would have never been the Moses that he was if you'd have took it. I don't think parents are getting that. I don't think we can wrap our mind around it. She at best had 7 years with him. At best. When she had him first, she couldn't hide him. That was 3 months. And then she took and was called. You know the story. I read it to you. Then she was called and was paid wages to nurse that baby. And generally, that could have been anywhere from 5 years to 7 years old when they would quit that, when they stopped nursing. You know what she said in her mind and heart? I've got 5 years. I've got 7 years max to influence my son and to speak truth into him. Amen. That'll change his life. 7 years. I guarantee you she didn't play no games with it. I guarantee every time she fed him, every time she burped him, and she may have lived there. I don't know, because babies have to eat about every 30 minutes. Ain't that right? Say amen right there. And she was there pretty well continually in that baby's life. And she had, Miss Vicki, only that small window of an opportunity. And we got some babies in here. This morning. Liam's how old now? Almost 2 months. The twins. How old? 8 months, Ellie Mae. 7 months. But you know what we're thinking when we're in our culture? We're thinking 18 years at least. It don't matter if they want to leave home or not. You ain't going nowhere. You're not going nowhere. Think about even how small a window 18 years is. Us parents that's already had children past that, how quickly did that come and go? How quickly did we blink our eyes and they went from diapers to walking across the stage and getting a diploma and graduating high school? And you look around and you shake your head in a blur and you're thinking, where did time go? How in the world did I allow that baby to go from birth to being gone from my house, out of my nest, married or whatever? What kind of influence? You think about it. I want to tell you what kind of an influence Jochebed had on Moses in approximately 5 to 7 years of his infant days. What he heard, Brother Jeter, in those days, what God instilled in his mind, what God instilled in his heart, was what rose up in him when he had become great in Egypt's recognition and riches and royalty and honor. He, guess what came back? What came back to cause him to act by faith and make a decision? I'm refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. I want to tell you what caused him to do that. That his mama put in him, spoke into him, and read to him, and told him in those small few years she had with him. Mamas, if you don't do anything else, if you don't get nothing else today, I'm talking about you especially that's got babies and you're still raising kids. You don't have but just a short period of time. Actually, let me say it this way. You've only got a short period of time when you are the only teacher. Because when they get up and on up in 8, 9, and 10, and 12, you're not the only, you're just one of the teachers. Now there's their friends that's teaching them. Now the TV's teaching them. Now their friends is teaching them. And they're getting all of these different contrasting messages that's coming in. They hear the preacher. Preacher's trying to teach them. Sunday school teacher's trying to teach them. And they, amen. And they're getting all of this and they're trying to process it all. The prime time to work in a child's life is when they are little. Amen. Let me give you these three things to think about. And as simple as it can be, as simple as it can be. Three things that Jochebed, the Bible shows us about Moses. Number one, so simple, you'll miss it. She had him. She had him. Wow, preacher, is that all you got? Hey, don't play that down. Some of these women in here will flog you. Make light over having a baby, walking through the jaws of death. Are you listening? Unto God, I'm glad I'm a man. Praise the Lord. I mean, I was in there when Blake was born, and I thought, unto the Lord. I mean, I thought I was going to have an injection of Tylenol just myself. I mean, it was hurting me to watch. A miracle taking place. Amen. Just an absolute miracle. So the first thing is, she had him. She had him. Before Moses was even born, Pharaoh of Egypt decided to kill every male child. That's adding a little bit now to having him. She had Moses in a most difficult day, a most dangerous day, a most adverse day. I've heard people say it. My wife's even said it. You know, they shouldn't have kids in our day. This world's so wicked, and our nation's all, in, you know, don't have no babies. Well, that ain't God's will. That ain't God's word. That strikes a note with our reasoning, but it's not scriptural. The children of Israel, even in Egypt's bondage, and there was nothing pleasant about that, but yet they were having children. In fact, in chapter 1 of Exodus, Pharaoh got concerned that the Hebrews was outnumbering them. They were having so many babies, and so that's why that Pharaoh started targeting the children of the Hebrews is because they wanted to depopulate God's people. Hello? I'm going to put a little sideline political statement right here. If you vote for somebody that's for depopulation, don't tell me because I have no confidence in you. Because when you're focusing on depopulation, amen, and I could call names that's very popular in our day that's doing it and they're behind it and they're for it. You can look at it any way you want to. When you've got depopulation as your agenda, you're talking about killing people. Young and old alike. Amen. You say, that's sorry somebody do that. Oh, yeah, it is. And get by with it, it makes it worse. But she had him in a day when it was not popular, in a day when there was a threat, a day when it looked like that a child was not going to live. She knew this. She knew this when she had him. She knew that this was a danger when she had him. Amen. Few women have ever raised a family in a more difficult circumstance than when Amram and Jochebed raised Moses and Miriam and Aaron. Hey, I want to tell you, children are the heritage of the Lord. And listen, God knows what the future needs. He knows the children that's needing to be adults, when they need to be adults, so that they can serve the Lord in those days. I know it looks like Jesus could come today, and he may. He could come at this very minute before I get through with the next sentence. Amen. I know that. I know that we believe in the imminent return of Christ. That's taught in the Bible. Nothing has to happen for Jesus to come. But I want to tell you, friend, if Jesus tarries his coming, he doesn't come in another 50, 75 years, which I can't see that happening. I'm just saying if. There needs to be some children raised up to be adults in those days that will serve God and be preachers and Sunday school teachers and be witnesses and will be light that will shine in the midst of darkness. Amen. What if mom and daddy 50, 60 years ago would have said, you know what, we ain't having no more. Then yours truly wouldn't be here. Y'all didn't think that was too good? I thought that, Josh, you think that was pretty good? I thought that was pretty good. I mean, if mom and them said, well, you know, we ain't going to have no, then there wouldn't be a preacher rattly voice in our day of preaching God's word. Amen. They thought... My wife thought Jesus was going to come back before she got married. And that's been 34 years ago. That's right. You can't live like that. Live with that expectancy, but plan as if it's not happening. Plan, make you plan. Well, hey, we're going to get married. We're going to have babies. Praise God. We're going to church. We're going to whatever. And just go on with it. And be living in the light of leaving. Be ready to go when he comes. She had him. I think that's a commendable thing to say about her. She had him. She believed that God was greater than Pharaoh, that Satan is no match for the Holy Spirit that's at work. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Aren't you glad she did it? For the Mosaic law lies at the heart of every sane piece of legislation in this world. Isn't that good? That's right. Give us the Pentateuch. Laid the foundation of all subsequent books of the Bible. How many of the rest of the books of the Bible? Always referring back to something that Moses wrote. Something that Moses wrote. What about that? Secondly, write this down quickly. Not only did she have him, she hid him. Exodus 2 and also Hebrews 11 both talks about that. That they hid him. When he was a proper child, they hid him. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a goodly child. I want to tell you, friend, that yeah, there's you can't get around it. If you're a mama, you've had a baby, period. That's deep, ain't it? Boy, preacher actually is out there in deep water today. Not only did she have him, here's another important role for a mother. The Bible said she hid him. She hid him. I wrote this down. She hid him first in her womb. She hid him first in her womb. Protecting and nurturing and feeding and amen. She hid him secondly in her home. She hid him in her home. I wonder, I wrote this down. Ask yourself the question. Which has more influence in your home, God or the world? What if Amram and Jochebed would have raised Moses in a carnal, worldly home? He would have never been, that's it. He would have not only lived his life, if he hadn't have got killed, he may have gotten killed as a child. But he would have lived his life in Egypt's royalty and finery and took over the throne when Pharaoh died and lived throughout the rest of his days and never done anything for God, oh, he would have had all he wanted. He would have been popular. He would have been filled with pleasure and prosperity like no other. But guess what? He would have never done anything for God. He would have, listen, when God is wanting to work in you, he's got the future in mind. He wants to work in your life now, amen, to cause you to be something that he could work through your life, amen, so that people in the future can be blessed by the fruit that comes out of your life. That idea of living for the now and now, that'll rob you of potential. Just live for the moment. Just live for the moment. No, that's not the way it works. She hid him in her home. My goodness. There's no doubt that probably seeing that a baby's first people in its life is mom and daddy, mainly. Miss Donna says grandparents. They're in there close. But really, I mean, you got that right there. How many children, before they ever know anything about the pleasures of this world, far as seeing it firsthand or reading it or going somewhere, but they're exposed to it through mom and daddy's life? What would be most dangerous, Brother Aaron? What would be most dangerous for your kids? Allowing something dangerous to come into your home, or you taking them to where it's at, or is both of them the same? Yeah. Mom and daddy, listen, no doubt, a lot of kids have carnal desires. I don't know how many saw that Facebook post that I put on, shared that video of that husband and wife, mom and daddy, sharing an actual event that happened to them. They got their little baby girl some kind of a tablet, and that little baby was playing some kind of game on that tablet. I want everybody to listen. She was playing on that tablet, and all of a sudden, this you know how this stuff pops up and all of that, you know, advertisements and stuff. Well, she didn't have a clue what it was. Her innocent mind. So she brings that to her mama. And they, oh my goodness. So the mom and the daddy, trying to figure out what triggered that, they played that game for hours and it never pops up. It never popped up. That ad never popped up. And they played it for hours for the purpose of it popping up. Never would pop up. And so the husband said, I'm going to try something. He took a picture of his little baby girl, held it in front of the camera, the front camera on that tablet, and started playing that game, and instantly that same thing popped up. Now, I don't know what you think of that, but that tells me that there's another set of eyes on the other side of that camera that recognize that there's a little child playing this, and we can pop this up, and we can corrupt their mind. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We can expose them to what we want to expose them to. And had she not brought that tablet to mom and daddy, the mom and daddy would have never known it. Cell phones and tablets in the hands of 3 and 4 and 5 year olds. Lord only knows what those little pop-up things that just pops up for a few seconds and then gone. And mom and daddy don't know anything about it. That's scary. I don't know about you, but that's scary that somebody can insert themselves into your home, into your child's knowledge without asking you. Son, that makes me about mad, really, to be honest about it. That they would take advantage and do it on purpose. Mom and daddy's face there wasn't nothing, because they wasn't that's not who they were after. That's not the age group they're targeting. No, when mom and daddy played and whoever, whatever it was that was viewing, noticed that it was adults, they would know. But when they held a picture up there to identify an infant, a small child, then the devil went to working. I don't have time to preach this morning, but I'm going to tell you right now, Everybody in here needs to know the devil does not wait till you're 18 or 22 or 26 or 30 for him to start working in your life. Brother, listen, Brother Randy, those twins, what was 8 months old? The devil wants to be working in their life already. You say, but they don't know. They can't see. They can't read. How long do you think that Jochebed instructed Moses, telling him, "You're not an Egyptian. You're a Hebrew. You're not an Egyptian. You're a Hebrew," and taught him about the things of the Bible. How did Moses know to write about the ark? How did Moses know to write about Joseph? Moses came on the scene after Joseph. How did he know to write about Joseph and all of those patriarchs that's in the book of Genesis? That's because mama taught him. Hey man, what does your child know about God that you taught him, mama? My goodness. Hey man. Not only did she hide him in her womb, hide him in her home. And I want to tell you, friend, our children need to be hid. They need to be hid. There's so much perversion today. There is so much immorality today and violence. I mean, listen, kids, I'm talking about playing video games. Won't work. You couldn't strike. They wouldn't strike a lick at a snake. They wouldn't taste pies in a pie bag. I was at one of them car washes the other day. And I was vacuuming my car out. And this car pulled up beside of me. And I couldn't help but notice. I assume it was a daddy and a son. Well, the daddy gets out and starts vacuuming. Had all the doors open, was vacuuming. The son was sitting in the passenger front seat. Like this. Never moved. Daddy come around to his side of the car. Daddy was taking the wand of that vacuum thing, going over and under and around him. That son would not even move. Didn't offer to help. Didn't offer to move. What do you think about that, Brother Stephen? I wanted to say something awful about it. I wanted to just go over there and say a few words, but it would have probably been in the flesh. I mean, never even looked up. Just played that. Whatever he was doing on his phone, he was consumed with that to the point that he didn't care what his daddy was doing and all of that. And the daddy never even offered to ask him to move. Son, would you get out so I can vacuum that seat? Would you move your feet so I can get on? None of that. I'll tell you why. He probably has done that before, and that son probably chewed his tail out, amen, because of it. Made me wonder who's the parent there. Well, we're having a good Mother's Day. Babies, children need to be hid. The sooner they get exposed to wickedness, the sooner they're going to like it. Amen. It doesn't matter if it's coming through. You know what? I was in a store down in Morristown. I want you to listen to this. It wasn't Rule King. Anyway, I ain't going to tell you where it's at. Anyways, I don't want to give them no points. But I was just in a store looking around, shopping, you know. And I heard this young boy, and I actually got around to where I could see him, had his mom in there. And she was looking at all these stuff, you know, on the shelves. Was he looking at anything? No. All he spent his whole time following her around. I mean, you could hear him halfway across the store. His mama, I played this, and he named the game last night. I played this, and oh, mama, I had X number amount of headshots. And mama, I went to another level, bragging on headshots, blood and guts and all of that. You saw, I ain't nothing to that. You really believe that? Desensitizing our youth concerning life and human beings. And then it's a whole other subject, but they can get to the point to where they can't hardly decipher between fantasy and reality. And so what's the difference of shooting somebody in the head on a game And, well, so-and-so made me mad and take matters into their own hands. I'm telling you, they need to be hid. As much as possible, they need to be hid away from all of the exposure of wickedness. Mom and Daddy didn't teach me to cuss. Mom and Daddy never taught me to drink. Mom and Daddy never taught me to smoke dope. Mom and Daddy never taught me to dance. None of that came from Mom and Daddy. That come from them heathens I went to school with. And I was one of them, friend. That's right. Evil communications corrupteth good manners. You put something clean up next something dirty, 100% of the time, what's dirty will contaminate what's clean. Amen. Well, preacher, if I don't let them do and go and be and stay and spend the night and all of that, preacher, they won't have no life. Yeah, really. I say unto you, she not only had him, she hid him. She hid him in her womb, she hid him in her home, and then she hid him in an ark. How did she know about an ark? How did she know about the Noah's ark? No doubt that's where she got the image from. No doubt that's where she got the blueprint of putting slime and pitch in it. Noah's ark had pitch on the inside, outside, and all that. How did she know that? Or better yet, how did Moses know it to write about it? She's the one that taught him about creation. Was it the hand of Moses under the inspiration of God that wrote the words? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Think about what would we believe about creation if Moses hadn't have wrote down Bible account, Genesis account of creation? We probably believe we come from monkeys. I've seen some I think maybe might have. I don't know. Number three, last, she held him. And I've already preached on this mostly this morning. Jochebed didn't just leave her baby in an ark, but his sister Miriam watched after him because she realized my responsibility is not just to have him and to hide him. My responsibility is to look after him and watch after him and be responsible because she cared. She held him. As she nursed him, she held him. And she taught him as a young baby, as a young infant. She taught him all about the history of the Jewish people. And he was raised up with that in him, instilled in him. And again, I report and just remind you that all took place in about a 5 to 7 year window, to the point that when he was probably 30 or so years old and popular, what mama taught him in that little window of opportunity influenced his course of choice, and he became the one that God sent to Egypt to lead God's people out. My, mama, don't underestimate your influence. You say, preacher, it may be too far gone. No, don't look at it that way. The further you think it's gone, pray harder. Claim the scripture. Believe God's word. Amen. Over your house and over your household and over the fruit of your family. Amen. Believe God. Put God. That's what my mama did me. When she didn't even know where I was at, she put God on my trail. Hallelujah for that. So moms, I want to encourage you. Be like Jochebed. You've already had your child. Hide your child. Hide them. Try your best to shelter them. Try your best to protect them from wicked influences. Carnality is easy to spot. Carnality, when they start having carnal desires in their heart, it's easy to spot that. Amen. And the devil don't care to influence your children outside of your home. He don't care to influence your children inside your home. And we ought to be on full alert to think this. The enemy is after my children. The enemy is after my children. So moms, I just want to encourage you today. Draw some strength, draw some instruction, draw some help from Jochebed, Moses' mother. Had them, hide them, and then she held him. Hold them. Hold them in care. Hold them, and while you're holding them and loving on them, don't let your love silence your good instruction. Don't let your love be hesitant to give godly advice. And that book you have laying in your lap is the book of wisdom. The book of Proverbs, there's all kinds of instructions in the Bible about raising children. Amen. Amen. Let's bow for this word of prayer. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your goodness to us. Lord, we pray, dear Father, that you'll help us, Lord, in the message, dear God, this morning. Lord, that we would learn some things from Jochebed and how she taught him and instructed him and about Cain and Abel and Enoch and Noah's flood. And Lord, how she taught him, no doubt, about Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot and his wife and Ishmael and Isaac, Jacob and Esau and the 12 patriarchs. No doubt she instructed him about all of that. And she did it in such a small window of time that it rose up and influenced him later on when he had Egypt in hand, when he had everything going his way, but down on the inside of him, he was miserable. Down on the inside of him, he knew there was something missing, that I'm not destined to be here. I am not destined to be the Pharaoh. I am not destined to be the next person on the throne in Egypt. God's got another plan for me. And Lord, I want to thank you that he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Met with you, Lord, there at the burning bush. You called him. Lord, you commissioned him. And Lord, you enabled him and you sent him to do an impossible job of leading God's people out. Lord, help me to learn some things from Moses. But Lord, I know for my life, just like with Moses, if they'd have took my mom out of my life, I probably would have never got saved. It's doubtful, very doubtful I'd ever got saved. Because mama was aggressive. Mama was believing. Mama was praying. And when she found out where I was at, Lord, you know, you sent her. She came and got me. Came and got my stuff. Lord, I got saved shortly thereafter. Lord, those of us in here that's had a godly mama or do still yet have a godly mama, Lord, help us. Help the children to not be rebellious. Help the children to know that carnality is never a friend. Carnality and worldliness is never a friend, but it's rather the agents of the enemy to corrupt young people and destroy their interest and their desire and their drive for the things of God. Lord, help every mom and dad in here to be spiritual inspectors of their children, far as looking for spiritual, scriptural evidence in their kids' lives. See if they've got a heart for God. What do they talk about the most? What kind of music do they listen to? Who they like to hang around? God, help us. Help the mothers. Lord, help the mothers to step up. Please help the moms to not ever just throw their children out to chance and say, well, if they love God, it'll happen. If it don't, it won't. Lord, I still remember ringing in my ears. My mom said, the devil may get you, but it will never happen without a fight from me. Lord, I want to thank you that I had a mama that was willing to fight the powers of hell, wage war with darkness, believe God, put feet on her prayers, stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And Lord, I got saved no doubt because of that. And I want to thank you for the instruction and the advice and the corrections that I've received from Mom and Dad. Particularly from my mom, I thank you for that. Lord, have your way, Lord, as we dismiss. And I pray our mothers would be challenged today. They would be challenged in a spiritual direction about their children. And Lord, the young people's in here, Lord, that's listening to the preaching today. And Lord, their life is heading the wrong direction. Their life is against God and against the Bible. Don't have no desire for the things of God. Lord, please help them to understand that surely is not the outlook of a believer. And Lord, I pray that you'll do a work in me, do a work through me, do a work in this church, do a work in our young people, do a work in the families and the homes that make up this assembly. And speak to our hearts, and may we be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray.